edition of the update this Monday. We're slowly inching forward. The city isn't going to allow public events in June, including the Puerto Rican Day Parade, the Celebrate Israel Parade, and the Pride Parade on its 50th anniversary. Mayor de Blasio says that hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers would need to be tested for the virus daily before the restrictions could start to be loosened. In other news, a judge has ruled that the man accused of stabbing five people with a machete at that suburban Hanukkah celebration is not mentally fit to stand trial. Major League Baseball players, they're upset over the prospect teams. They may seek additional pay cuts if the games are played at empty ballparks due to the pandemic. And it's a very rapid and a very curious reopening plan. Georgia's governor is planning to restart the state's economy before the end of the week. Gyms, hair salons, bowling alleys, and tattoo parlors, they will be allowed to reopen with strict social distancing and hygiene requirements. And by next week, movie theaters may resume selling tickets, and restaurants that were limited to takeout orders could return to limited dine-in service. This is the late edition of the update, Monday, April the 20th. 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Monday to you. Welcome to the update on the podcast exclusive and also on the WKRB Mixcloud show. For the last couple of weeks, we've been on the east side of the river where we saw Queens. Now we're on the west side of the river. We have a lot of news to get to this Monday on this late edition, including the latest developments. We're going to begin this Monday with the mayor and what he's got to say. The mayor, a couple days ago, already took away the permits for and all that. Well, now today he said that the city is not going to have any public events in June, including the three of the most annual celebrations here in the city: the National Puerto Rican Day Parade, the Celebrate Israel Parade, and the Pride Parade on the 50th anniversary. Mayor de Blasio announced that the event will be canceled as possible. He said that it's a painful but necessary step as the city continues to fight the virus. Meanwhile, he said that hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers would need to be tested for the virus daily before city officials could start to loosen the restrictions. The need for more testing is coming as the daily death toll in the state appears now to have reached a plateau. There's a nursing home in an upscale section of Brooklyn with 55 deaths that have been blamed on the virus. It's become yet another example of the struggle to control such outbreaks amid the shortages of staff, protective equipment, and testing. The CEO of the Cobble Hill Health Center says that its facility quickly became overwhelmed after nearly a third of the staff went out sick, and those that left began wearing garbage bags because of a shortage of protective gear. He said that the death toll was based on only the possibility of COVID-19 because not a single resident or staffer had been tested. Among the other things that the coronavirus is dealing damage to, it's now dealing a gut punch to the illegal drug trade, paralyzing the economies and severing supply chains in China that traffickers rely on for the chemicals to make such drugs as methamphetamine and fentanyl. One of the main suppliers is in Wuhan, which is the epicenter of the global outbreak. Associated Press interviews with law enforcement officials found that Mexican and Colombian cartels are still plying their trade, as evidenced by recent seizures. Lockdowns have turned cities into ghost towns, are disrupting everything from production to transport to sales. And the prices for drugs in short supply have also soared to gouging levels. Federal authorities authorities now say that they plan to start tracking and publicly sharing the information on infections and deaths at nursing homes nationwide to help spot the trends and the signs of spread in communities. The move is coming, of course, as industry officials and local leaders have called on federal officials to do more to track infections and help get testing and protective equipment. The agency that oversees nursing homes says that homes could start reporting information by the end of the week, but they didn't say how or when that data will be distributed. The AP tally of nursing home deaths stands at nearly 8,500. Turning back to the states, the number of deaths daily is now continuing to drop. Governor Cuomo said yesterday that 507 people died on Saturday. That was down 33 from the previous day. Cuomo also said that hospitalizations and other medical indicators are trending downward, but Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio are still warning New Yorkers that they need to stay vigilant to curb the spread. The state data shows a nearly 14,000 New Yorkers have died since the state's first case was reported on March 1st. The state total doesn't include more than 4,000 death certificates, but they weren't confirmed by a lab test. We told you about the daily increase in deaths. Now the number dipped below 550 for the first time in over 2 weeks as the hospitalizations continue to decline. But Governor Cuomo warned on Saturday that this crisis is far from over. Hospitals are still reporting nearly 2,000 new COVID-19 patients a day. The state had logged 540 deaths on Friday from COVID-19, the lowest number since April 1st. For those that are looking for something to celebrate, however, the state is now untangling some red tape around tying the knot. With many marriage bureaus closed, New Yorkers will now be able to get marriage licenses online and wed via video. Excuse if she asks you the big question. And to the state capitol in Albany we go now, because the despair that's been wrought on the nursing homes by the virus was laid bare back on Friday in a state survey that identified numerous facilities where multiple patients had died. 19 of the state's nursing homes reported 20 or more deaths linked to the pandemic, and one Brooklyn home was listed as having 55 deaths. The list was far from complete, though, and was based on a survey sent by the state asking for details. Its release came after days of media news reports about homes so stricken by the virus that bodies had to be stacked inside of storage rooms. There is other news of this Monday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brady Julian podcast and on the WKRB Mixcloud channel returns in just 30 seconds.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially. The whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you, and I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you. From PassItOn.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Monday. A judge has now ruled that the man that was accused of stabbing 5 people with a machete at that suburban Hanukkah celebration is not mentally fit to stand trial. Grafton Thomas has been charged in an attack on a rabbi's home back on December 28th that left 5 people wounded. The most critically injured victim, Joseph Newman, age 72, died 3 months after the attack. Judge Kathy Siebel ruled that Thomas should be committed to a treatment facility for no more than 4 months. The ruling only applies to Thomas's trial for federal hate crimes. He's also been indicted on state charges that include attempted murder. He has pleaded not guilty. And the Italian restaurateur who opened the celebrated French restaurant Le Creek in New York has also died. Ciro Macarini watched his eatery grow into arguably Manhattan's favorite dining room of the rich and famous. Maconi's son, Mauro, says his father died in the family's villa in Tuscany earlier today. He was 88 years old. Le Creek was famed for its decadent Grand Marnier soufflés and terrines of rabbit relief, and its starry guest list included Frank Sinatra, Henry Kissinger, Princess Grace, Bill Glass, Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton, Diana Ross, and Nancy and Ronald Reagan. I'm pretty certain I did not get the name of some of those dishes I just mentioned, but then again, I don't know a lot about French food. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Monday, we're going to talk some sports, including how MLB players are upset about how teams may seek additional pay cuts if the games are played in the empty ballparks this season. We'll talk about how you can get around with the NCAA Essential Service Plan, what happened on this day in history, and then we will talk national news, including how it's a very bold and curious plan of reopening by the governor of Georgia. We will address all that and more when the update with Brad and Julian podcast, and also exclusively on the WKRB Nixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com. Have you noticed lately how empty everything is? Empty streets, empty stores, empty schools. But I'm trying to change these empty times by being full of gratitude. Gratitude means saying thanks to the garbage collector, the medical providers, and all those who are helping every day. Things may appear empty around us, but when we're filled with gratitude, nothing is completely empty inside us. Gratitude is in you. From PassItOn.com.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
As you know, the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only. With the lack of train crews, trains will be running on most lines every 20 to 30 minutes. There's also no scheduled service on the B, C, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, A, D, E, J, and Q, or R trains.
With the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let's talk some sports on this Monday. In LA, the U.S. Supreme Court has now denied a petition from the L.A. Rams to send a lawsuit regarding their relocation from St. Louis in arbitration. The lawsuit is scheduled to go to trial in St. Louis late next year, or it could be settled out of court. The city and county of St. Louis and the Regional Sports Complex Authority sued the Rams 15 months after owner Stan Kroenke returned his franchise to L.A. in early 2016. The Rams had spent 21 years in St. Louis before returning to their hometown for the previous 39 years. The St. Louis parties alleged the Rams and the NFL committed fraud and breach of contract while moving the franchise. And finally, here in New York, MLB players are upset over the prospect teams. They may seek additional pay cuts if games are played in empty ballparks due to the pandemic. Their anger was stoked last week when Governor Cuomo said that he was told by Mets Chief Operating Officer Jeff Welker that the players union would have to agree to lower salaries if games were held without fans. A deal back in March 26 states that
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
Pass it on.
This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good. Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Hi, I'm Amine. Sometimes starting a conversation with a friend about mental health can feel awkward, but your support can make a huge difference. You know your friends best, so if you feel like something's wrong, trust your instinct and reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Paging common sense, paging common sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update OTR at Robert F. Wagner Park downtown. Rather breezy out here for a late Monday. We told you the scene where we are. We're across the water from the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. And we're talking about how for the last couple of weeks we've been doing shows over on the east side of town where we had the views of Queens. Well, now we are on the west side of town with the views of New Jersey. Let us talk about what happened on this day of history. It's April the 20th. By the way, happy 420 to all the people who celebrate that tradition on this day. The highlight of this day came in 1971 when the Supreme Court unanimously upheld the use of busing to achieve racial desegregation in schools. In 1836, Congress voted to establish the Wisconsin Territory. In 1912, Boston's Fenway Park hosted its first professional baseball game while Navin Field, otherwise known as Tiger Stadium, opened in Detroit. The Red Sox defeated the New York Rangers 7-6 in 11 innings, while the Tigers beat the Cleveland Naps 6-5. Apollo 16's lunar model carrying astronauts John W. Young and Charles Edward Jr. In 1977, the U.S. Supreme Court in Woolley v. Maynard ruled 6-3 that car owners could refuse to display state models on license plates, such as New Hampshire's Live Free or Die. In 1986, following an absence of 6 decades, Russian-born pianist Vladimir Horowitz performed in the Soviet Union to a packed audience at the Grand Hall of the Tchaikovsky Conservatory in Moscow. In 1988, gunmen who had hijacked the Kuwait Airways jumbo jet were allowed safe passage out of Algeria under an agreement that freed the remaining 31 hostages and ended a 15-day siege in which 2 passengers were slain. In 1999, the Columbine High School massacre took place in Colorado as 2 students shot and killed 12 classmates and 1 teacher before taking their own lives. In 2003, U.S. Army forces took control of Baghdad from the Marines in a changing of the guard that thinned the military presence in the capital. In 2005, President George W. Bush signed a bill making it harder for debt-ridden people to wipe clean their financial slates by declaring bankruptcy. Also, in his first Mass as Pontiff, Pope Benedict XVI pledged to work for unity among Christians and to seek, quote, an open and sincere dialogue with other faiths. Also, Ecuador's Congress voted to remove embattled President Lucio Gutierrez from office and swear in Vice President Alfredo Placido to replace him. And in 2010, an explosion on the Deepwater Horizon oil platform, leased by BP, killed 11 workers and caused a blowout that began spewing an estimated 200 million gallons of crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico. The well was finally capped nearly 3 months later. When we return on the update this Monday, we'll talk the latest national news, including the very bold but very curious reopening strategy from the governor of Georgia. We will address that when the update with Brandon Julian on the road, podcast exclusive, and on the WKRB Mixcloud channel returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one.
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two.
Virtual play dates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together.
Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Update OTR. That's on the road, in case you don't get the shorthand. we're on the... I have to get a laugh in every once in a while. On the road at Robert F. Wagner. Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, and over across the room from our lovely neighbors in New Jersey that are also going through their own tough times in this crisis. Let us talk some national news on this Monday. We are going to begin in Washington, where governors of both parties are pushing back after President Trump accused Democrats of playing, quote, a very dangerous political game by insisting that there is a shortage of tests for the coronavirus. The governors countered today that the White House must do more to help states get the testing that's needed before they can ease up on their stay-at-home orders. Supplies to the governors have stymied U.S. testing for weeks. They need random testing supplies like swab protective gear to highly specialized laboratory chemicals that are needed to analyze patient results. Speaking of these stay-at-home orders, some states and some countries are starting to buckle under the political pressure. That's why the governor of Colorado said that the statewide stay-at-home order will expire next week. Democratic Governor Jared Polis says that he'll allow a gradual reopening of non-essential businesses and permit surgical procedures and other activity that was suspended by the fight, as long as strict social distancing and other individual protective measures continue. Polis, though, credited the widespread compliance with statewide social distancing and shelter-in-place orders for an apparent leveling off of hospitalizations. And the governor urged residents who can work from home to keep doing so, to stay home as much as possible, avoid large gatherings, and wear masks and other protective gear. To Atlanta we go now, because this is a very interesting, and I mean very interesting, very rapid, but it's a very curious proposal by the governor of Georgia to reopen their state. He plans to reset the state's economy before the end of the week. He says that many businesses that close to mitigate the spread of the virus could reopen as far as since it is 420, we're going to go out west to Los Angeles. We all know that legal marijuana has become established in some form in all but a handful of states, but the industry is facing a challenge as the economy is faltering amid the crisis. The unofficial holiday that's celebrating cannabis culture today, known as 420, arrived with widespread uncertainty about the direction of the market as unemployment lines grew and consumers found themselves short on cash. The 420 holiday would usually be marked with outdoor festivals and communal smoking sessions, but this year, the stay-at-home orders have moved the party online. As sales soared at the start of lockdowns back in March, but business generally has flattened or tapered off since then, although some sellers are reporting boosts as government assistance checks are reaching consumers. Our thought for today is from Ralph Marson, an American football player, born in 1907 and died in 1967. Our thought for today is, excellence is not a skill, it is an attitude. I will let you guys ponder on that, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Monday, April the 20th, 2020. That is the update on this Monday on the road from Robert F. Wagner Park. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining us. Good luck, be safe, be well, and I'll see you back here tomorrow.